Take Me As I Am. We used to sing that song a long time ago. And the story behind it is this. There was a man who was real sick. And his wife told him, he was asking, well, with the Lord, and she said, well, you've got to ask Him to take you as you are. And she quite started quoting it. And he said, I don't believe that. She said, well, here's a hymn book. Read it for yourself. So he sat down and read the hymn book, and the Lord applied it to his heart, and the old boy got converted. Take me as I am. That's a real good invitation hymn, is it not? All right, we take your Bibles now and turn it back again to Joshua chapter 7. And I want you to stand in respect to the Word of God, if you will. Joshua chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. Follow along in your Bible, Joshua chapter 7, verse 16. Listen carefully. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of heaven, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Thus and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them up before the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father, this afternoon, guide and direct as we study together. Give listening ears, attentive minds. And, O Lord, we beg you again, send forth thy word in might and power. Do whatever work has to be done, not only in the hearts of these that don't know thee, but, Lord, in our own hearts, as you show us again the high cost of sin. Oh, forgive us and help us to appreciate you more. And, Lord, continue to bless this work and make it to grow and prosper. Draw these people around this vicinity, Lord. Draw them to this church as they hear the church bell ringing every time their service is here. Oh, dear God, hear us today. Lord, this community is in darkness, and this lighthouse is shining like a bright light amongst the darkness. So keep it up and bless everyone that's involved in this endeavor. Now forgive us where we fail thee. Help us to understand thee more and serve thee better. We ask, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't like to preach what I'm going to preach this afternoon, but I need to do it to be true to your souls. Our subject is the high cost of sin. And we've looked at Joshua this morning. We saw Achan as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw last night something more about Joshua and the children of Israel. And this afternoon, I'm going to show you what the children of Israel did and what is registered for us here in the camp of Israel is what happens every time an individual sins. Now, we all sin before God, and we better understand that. Even we believers are not free from sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. We're being freed from the power of sin, and one of these days we shall be freed from the very presence of sin. But while we're in this body, we find very clearly we have a battle all the time. So our lesson today will fall into these simple categories. First of all, the reality that every believer faces. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. I mentioned it before, I'll say it again. If you're a believer here today, you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me prove that. Turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy. We find very clearly, or 2 Timothy, I should say, chapter 2, and look at me at verses 1 through 4, and listen carefully to what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the Word of God brings it out for our learning. And a lot of people don't seem to understand this, but this is what it says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now look at these words. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you're saved here tonight or today, this is your category, and you better understand it. And as I said before, a soldier is under orders of his commander-in-chief. Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief. We are under orders to him. And the quicker we realize it, the better off we're going to be. Now, when I was in the military, and I still am in one sense of the word, I learned three things. And this is what it was. Yes, sir. No, sir. No excuse, sir. And really, that's the way we ought to be before the Lord Jesus Christ. When we sin against him, we can only stand before him and say, Lord, no excuse. Sir, forgive me. And he will. And we find how wonderful it is, because every individual that knows the Lord Jesus Christ is a soldier in the army of God. Now, what kind of soldiers are we? There are some good ones. There were some good ones in the military, and I'll tell you right now, there were also some bad ones in the military. And the bad ones, they usually got weaned out. And I'll tell you right now, there were some men in the military, I'm glad I didn't have to go into combat with them, because you couldn't trust them. I found that out to be amongst preachers, too. In fact, I was at Conyers a couple years ago, and I made the statement because I saw several preachers there that had dropped a dear friend of mine because he was in a problem. And I made the statement. I said, you preachers here tonight, I said, I wouldn't dare go into battle with you. I wouldn't spend a night in a foxhole with you under any circumstances. Well, they looked at me with their mouth popped wide open. And I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I can't trust you. I can't trust you. And I wouldn't spend a night in a foxhole with a sodomite either, because I can't trust them either. But they looked at me kind of funny, and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, when a believer gets into problem, and especially as a preacher, brother, I said, instead of you helping him, I said, you dropped him like a hot potato. And I said, the man's there standing alone, and you just don't know what an awesome impact it has had upon him. And it's still that way. I'm in contact with that preacher. He's in jail right now. And he's going to be there until probably the 2:10. And I'll tell you right now, he was framed. And he was put there. But you know what's happening? God's using him in a gracious way. Because he sent me a picture of the people that he's preaching to. And are you listening? There must be 40 or 50 of them in that picture. And there are at least 25 more that didn't want their picture taken. And he's standing there, and he preaches to them. And not only that, this is what happened. One of the converts, one of those people got converted, and he said point blank, he said, well, I want to be baptized. And they said, fine. But he turned to Brother Larry, because that's his name. He turned to him, he said, but wait a minute. He said, I want you to baptize me. Well, Larry said, I can't. He said, well, let's find out. So they went to the chaplain, and they went to the warden of the prison. And you know what happened? First time it's ever happened. Larry had the privilege of baptizing that old boy right there in prison. Now, you see, God works wherever you are. Now, I say this with you because this is a little bit extra. To encourage you. You're a soldier. But now, as like Israel at that time was surrounded by enemies, and you and I are surrounded by enemies too. There's three of them. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, the world hates the gospel. Your flesh hates the gospel. You better understand it. Christ didn't die to save your flesh. He died to save you. And you and I are living in a body of flesh. And that flesh is always against the things of God. But I'll tell you right now, God will give us victory over it if we are obedient unto the Lord God of heaven. And that is what's true in the camp of Israel, and it's also true in our lives today, and should be in the life of every church at this present hour. Now let's go back if we will. We find, now notice carefully. Notice carefully, if you will, in verse 1 of chapter 7. Notice. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now you listen. There were 3 million people there. And one person sinned. And God was angry with the whole camp. That shows you the connection between the believers. If one believer sins, the whole camp is affected. If one believer in this church sins, then the whole church is affected. And always keep that in mind. And we find, I'm going to show you the result of sin this afternoon for a few moments, because I want you to notice, this is what happened. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. All right? Here we find, whenever sin takes place, certain things take place. Now you say, what are you talking about? All right? Now notice what happened in verse 2 down through verse 6. And notice, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the people and the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor there, for they are but a few. So they went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. Now what in the world do you have here? All right? Here you have the result of sin, not only in the camp of Israel, but also in the life of a believer when it takes place. Now, what are you talking about? All right, I want you to notice. Number one, the anger of the Lord was against the camp of Israel, and whenever we sin, the anger of the Lord comes against us. Now, you and I that are believers can't go to hell. We can't be brought under condemnation, but we will be chastised. And whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth. And we find he chastiseth, and he scourgeth every son he receiveth. You'll read that in Hebrews chapter 12. And we find, what are you talking about? When sin is in the camp, I want you to notice what happens. It not only is personal, but it also is in the camp of the nation of Israel. Now notice, here we find, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the anger of the Lord is kindled against the church today when it sins. Secondly, the activities are not blessed of God. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about? All right, look at verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake to them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Now nothing wrong with that. But now look what happened. We find there was not only the anger of the Lord, but then here's what takes place when sin comes into the camp. The activities of both the activities are not blessed of God, all right? The men went up and viewed Ai. And you know what? They sinned when they told Joshua what to do. Now let that soak in. And that always happens. Here's the assumption of the flesh. They said to Joshua, don't let everybody go up. There's just a few people there. Just send about 3,000 of them. All right? They had no business doing that. The third thing is this. Joshua listened to their advice and not God's advice. And when an individual sins, the same thing takes place. The assumption of flesh comes over, and then we find very clearly what takes place. The activities that follow it are not blessed of the Lord God of heaven. And we see very clearly, now notice, not only was there the activity performed apart from God's counsel, because in verse 4, we read these words. So there went up there of the people of about 3,000 men. In other words, Joshua did not seek the Lord's will and did not seek the Lord's guidance in this particular region. You know why? Sin was in the camp. See, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. When we sin, the anger of the Lord is kindled against us. And we find very clearly what happened. The assumption of the flesh begins to take over. The men said to Joshua, you don't have to send too many, there's just a few over there. And Joshua listened to them. And that's the flesh speaking. And then I want you to notice, the activities were not blessed, because the wages of sin is always death. Now you say, what in the world do you find that here? Certainly. Look again, if you will, in verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased him from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote him in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted, and became as water. So what do you have here, all right? the action performed apart from God's counsel, and the affliction was a result of this action, which meant 36 men died. For the wages of sin is always death. If you're a believer, I'll tell you right now, you commit a particular sin, and happens, you may lose your reputation. You're going to lose fellowship with God until that sin is confessed and repented of. And then God will restore us. But it'll take again. It'll go right back and require the death of Christ. Now, Christ only died once. Don't misunderstand me. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has perpetual results of it. And how wonderful it is. And we find in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's really what took place here in this camp. But you see, there had to be repentance, all right? Now look again, the high cost of sin. We find not only was the affliction, 36 men had died, but then Israel became afraid because the people's heart melted and became as water, all right? It even affected Joshua. And in Joshua's first cry unto the Lord, this is what he said. Look carefully, if you will, in verse 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites, notice, and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? We'll go back to verse 7. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content, and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Now hold and see. Joshua went back, in this cry unto the Lord, he went back to Kadesh Barnea. And you remember when the two spies came back from Kadesh Barnea, and they carried that bunch of grapes between them because there were so many? And then the 10 other spies came on, and Joshua and Caleb were two of them. And the 10 others came back and gave a bad report, and the Israelites cried unto the Lord and said, Oh, would to God we'd never come this way, we'd die in the wilderness. But now Joshua was saying the same thing here. And you see, when sin takes over, here's the assumption of the flesh. And so you and I have to be very careful how we live and how we walk and how we talk. Now, I say this to you because I don't want any of us to have the Lord God of heaven angry with us, because I'll tell you right now, it not only affected Joshua, then I'll tell you something else. The result of it was this. Israel was awaiting the judgment of God unless repentance came upon them. Now where do you find that? Alright, look again at your verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Now look at these words. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. And are you listening? God does the same thing today with a believer. When we sin against God, we break fellowship with Him. God becomes angry with us. Alright? The activities that we'll perform will not be blessed of God. And then we find what happened. If we do not repent, we have nothing awaiting us but the judgment of God upon us. And always remember one thing. I've said it before. A believer can't go to hell. A believer cannot be condemned again. But a believer can be and does and is chastised before God if they don't repent and sue for mercy and ask God to have mercy on them, take away that sin. They're not crying for salvation all over again. They're crying for cleansing. And really, this is really what happens when an individual sins. But there's something else here. And this is the reason I don't like to preach this kind of a sermon. Because there's another picture here that we need to look at. And what is it? It's a picture of the great white throne judgment. If you're here tonight today without the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you right now, unless you repent and sue for mercy, and my cry is, Lord, take me as I am. Cry to the Lord like that. Take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. That's enough, isn't it? Take me as I am. All right? Do you find the great white throne judgment in this portion of the Word of God? I sure do. Let me show it to you, if I may, in these few moments that are left. We find here, now notice, the Bible, here's the Bible reference to the great white throne judgment. Listen to what God said in verse 13. Up, sanctify the people against you, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Now here's your white throne judgment. You say, personal, what are you talking about? Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. What do you have here? Always remember one thing. Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Jehoshua, which means God my Savior. And so Joshua is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only by his name, but also we find, and I have got time to go into it, we have not only that, but by his experience and by his work. But here we find the portrait in the Old Testament of the great white throne judgment. Number one, administered by Joshua, who's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hold your seat. God the Father has committed all judgment into the hands of Christ. You'll find that in John chapter 5, verse 22. All right? We find very clearly, an individual does not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in this life as Savior. They're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment as judge. Now, here's the amazing thing. I believe that Joshua sent this word to the camp of Israel before he rose up early in the morning. I believe God gave him that message at the evening hour. And so Joshua rose up early in the morning and began to do what God told him to do. Now, why do I tell you this? God was giving Achan and his household a time to repent. And they didn't do it. Even when he stood before Joshua, he was not repentant whatsoever. And at the great white throne judgment, I'll tell you right now, the individual is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not going to be repentant at all. There's no repentance on the part of the sinners at the great white throne judgment. There will be the admission of guilt, but that's all. Now look again, if you will. We find the white throne judgment administered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, there was the admission of guilt by the guilty. And find in verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Well, at the great white throne judgment, God's not going to tell you, or God's going to unveil it to you, because he already knows it. He's going to unveil it to you, the reality that you have never repented. You have never trusted Christ. You sinned away your day of grace. And we find Achan here did the same thing. He sinned away his day of grace. He had the night before. I believe he had the night before. And then Joshua wrote early in the morning because God told him what to do. And Joshua was doing it. And we find here's a picture of the great white throne judgment administered by Christ, portrayed by Joshua. Then there's the admission of guilt by the guilty. Achan admitted his guilt. We find in verse 21 down through verse 23. We see it set forth. And then we find there's also an awarding. Sin always has its reward. And here's the reward of sin with regard to Achan. We find, what are you talking about? All right, verse 24. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garments, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent and all that he had, they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Now notice. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel, stone them with stones, and burn them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. So what do you have here? The great white throne judgment, administered by Christ, portrayed by Joshua, the admission of the guilt by the guilty, and then there was the awarding of death and fire as a result. All right, will you listen? At the great white throne judgment, we read, And behold, what happened? There was a great white throne judgment, and the heaven and the earth fled away, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. You see the similarity here? Because what happened? In the great white throne judgment, there will be the awarding of death. All right? And what else? Fire. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Read Revelation 20, verse 15. Brother Neil sang that song last night on the atom bomb. And you say, Preacher, what are you talking about? All right, here we are. Notice carefully, there was the awarding also of death and sin. Now look again in verse 26. Not only that, but the fourth thing is this. There will be an amen said to the judgment by the people of God. Now think on that. The amen said by the people of God to the judgment at the great white throne judgment. Well, how do you know? Again, Joshua chapter 7, look at verse 26. And we find very clearly, And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor that day, unto this day. But look again. We find that all Israel stoned him with stones. In other words, there were 3 million people. And what did they do? They picked up stones and they killed Achan and all his family. Because they were all guilty. And it's a portrait of the great white throne judgment. Now why do I say, Amen was said by the children of Israel before the Lord to the death of Achan. They all had a hand in it. They stoned him with stones. Now hold your seat. At the great white throne judgment, the believers are going to be seated alongside the Lord Jesus Christ and say amen to the damnation of those that will be standing at the great white throne judgment. Now, where in the world do you find that? All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and see it for yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to notice carefully as it's set forth for our learning. The book of 1 Corinthians, because Paul is chastising this church for going to law. And we find very clearly in verse 1, Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life. All right? When are the saints going to judge the world? And when are the saints going to judge the angels? Want me to tell you? At the great white throne judgment, you and I will be seated alongside of Christ. We'll have the mind of Christ. And you and I will see our relatives standing before God. And the books will be opened, and their name won't be there. And then the angels will come and hurl them into the lake of fire, and there won't be a solitary protest on the part of the believers. You know why? We'll have the same mind of Christ. This is why it's so important for an individual to get right with the Lord God of heaven. Oh, beloved, today, you just don't know how I've been praying for you. I call you by name before the Lord. I don't want you to go to hell. I can't stop you, but God can, and He brought you here, and like I said before, I don't like to preach this kind of message. It's a message of awesome judgment. But before I leave with you, I want to tell you right now, I do have something that I can tell you. The Lord Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able to save all that will come unto God by Him. You can't come any other way. You've got to come through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only mediator there is. He's the only one that can save you. Because listen now, nobody could spare Achan. Joshua would have had Achan forgiven if he would have confessed before him. Achan did not repent. Achan stood before Joshua, and Joshua said, "My son, give, I pray thee, and tell me what glory to God, and tell me what you've done." Alright? The same thing will take place at the great white throne judgment. Every individual that stands there will be judged according to their works. And we find the Lord said also, by your words you shall be justified, and also by your words you shall be condemned. Now I'm going to ask you a question. If you were to die right now, where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Alright? You say, preacher, I'd go to hell. Well, why? Why would you go there? Let me tell you one reason. You refuse to come to Christ. Now don't say you can't. The Lord God of heaven will give you the ability to do so. Some of you might say, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to reveal Himself. You'll wait forever. But you cry unto the Lord, and like that song we sung this afternoon, "Oh, take me as I am. Take me as I am." That's the way you come. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am. You come with all your sin. You come with all your misgivings. You come with all your fears. And you come with all your depravity and sin and cry, "Lord, take me as I am." And hallelujah. He'll do it. How do you know, preacher? Well, He did it to me. When He saved this sinner, He can save anybody. Now let me leave this with you. If this were your last day on this earth, are you ready to go out into eternity on the basis of which you are? Now you think on that. Are you ready to go out into eternity on the basis of what you are? Mark was telling me this afternoon, he was telling me about the close call he had with death. How that man was run over. And that man had a luminous jacket on him, everything like that. He was run over. And when they knocked him down, and everybody didn't know, he backed over him again. That happened at Mark's work. And the reason, there's no lights there. But now you listen. You have the light today. You've heard the truth of the Word of God. And I want to say to you very kindly, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior there is. Oh, I urge you. Right there, right now. Right now. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't feel like I'm a sinner." Well, now wait a minute. Let's deal with facts. We're born sinners. We're born a sinner. There isn't anybody here in this room at all that's never told a lie in their life. A lie is a sin. And that meant that we've broken all the Ten Commandments when we break one of them. And the Scripture says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." We can't satisfy God. But the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf. And when He died, He died for a sinner like you and me. Oh, I urge you right there. Lord, ask Lord right there. Sue for mercy. Come to Him right there and say, "Lord, you know what a sinner I am. I can't find you. I'm just coming to you. I'm crying unto you. Lord, open my heart. I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And right there, sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. You're the sinner. And you know when you do that, He'll save you. Now, if you're supposedly a Christian today, and you're not living for the Lord God of heaven, throw away that old worn-out profession. Because a believer is going to live for Christ. And a believer is going to be subjective unto the things of God. And I'll tell you right now, there's too much rebellion in the world today. Children rebel against their parents. Parents rebel against their children. And we find There's a rebellion on the whole across America, and it tells me very clearly this is almost like the camp of Israel. Sin in the camp. And God will not be with the individual until that sin is dealt with, confessed, and repented of. And repentance means turning away from your sin. And when you do, you turn to Christ. And oh, what a privilege. The Lord Jesus will reach down and save you. Shall we stand? I'll dismiss us and watch over us. And Lord, if we don't meet again on this earth, we'll see each other in the rapture. We ask it now in thy precious name. Amen. Thank you for having me come. Thank you for listening so kindly and so intently as you have. And if I don't see you down here, I'm going to look for you in the rapture. You going to join me? I pray you are. All right. Thank you, Mike.